It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
And I can. It's John being beholden to his new boss. He said he wouldn't dare to hang out until Sam said, get that picture in. So John took a picture of me starting the show because Sam told him to. So I don't know where that picture's going to wind up. But at some point, when you see it, just know Sam's the boss of John. So we found that out today. Sam, our dedicated leader of our socials. In all ways, social team, she posts, she makes sure commercials that we film get in the right spot, and she bossed John around. So a picture of me starting the show will be somewhere at some place. But we are wrapping up our time here at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. We're in the DraftKings Sportsbook, and it's been a great time had by all. You know, John celebrates in ways that I don't, but even me, someone who doesn't drink and refrains from gambling, can have a good time, and you can too. Of course, Super Bowl week, that's why we're here. John ended the show talking about they've got a couple spots remaining at a couple places. But, hey, even when it's not Super Bowl time, you want to come out here if you're in Houston and you want to get away for a little bit, spend some time in a Vegas-style casino. But better, of course, because it's closer, this is the place for you. So we're happy to be here and to wrap up the show. So last night, normally when I watch Rockets games, I have a way to do it because I don't have DirecTV. And let's just say the connection wasn't as great here. The Wi-Fi's fine. It's just, at least with my laptop, it didn't work as great. So I got a bit more of a spotty view of the game, but I did watch and was able to watch the entire fourth quarter. And the Rockets have a big fourth quarter problem. And the coin is flipped. Last week, in the weeks before, when they were winning these close games, it was fine. They're finding ways to win. But eventually, the coin will flip the other way, and that's what's happening. They give up 46 points to the Knicks in the fourth quarter, blow another double-digit lead, and Jalen Brunson goes for 42. And I think my biggest problem with Jalen Brunson is he celebrates threes like he's European. It bothers me. I don't know what it is. Every time I see him throw up the three, it's like I'm watching Inglourious Bastards in that bar scene, which led to disaster for certain people in that movie. But he had a big time night. He put up shots of pretty much against any Rocket who they tried to line him up against. He had his way with Ahmed. He had his way with Tari. He was on one in the fourth quarter, and the Rockets do not fare well in the fourth quarter. I think Lance looked at the numbers. They're like 18th overall. In the league in the fourth quarter. They have a minus point differential. And you can understand, and it's easier to say this now because they have lost their last three games in a row, that if the general public doesn't take them seriously, you get it. Now, this wasn't a full-strength squad. Fred didn't play. Alperen didn't play. So they weren't at their best. But when you think of them as a complete roster, is there a reason anyone should have complete faith in a squad that's going to be led by the likes of Fred VanVleet and a bunch of 20-something-year-olds? And not just mid-20s. We're talking about very young in their 20s. That's not the formula for a team that handles their business in the fourth quarter of playoff games. We're seeing it now. They don't even handle their business in the fourth quarter of a Monday night game in New York. And the Knicks are a good basketball team. So it's no shame to lose that way. But 46 points, which when your identity is supposed to be defense, we know you get your offense, and they're pretty good offensively because they offensive rebound, they get out and transition, they force turnovers. But as a tried and true, we're going to out-execute you in the half court, it's not exactly who they are. They're a drive and kick team. They want to beat you off the dribble and create open either lanes to the bucket or to create open shots on the perimeter. But defense is what gets them to the point. That's why they're leading these games. And unfortunately, that defense has kind of slipped away. And we played sound from Ime yesterday about lack of energy costing them against the Nets. Well, he has a different thought about what cost them against the Knicks. Here's Ime Udoka about the issues for his team in the fourth quarter. I think I snuck that on Sean, so we'll get to that. It's a part of not being face-to-face. I did not tell Sean I wanted that sound, so we'll get to that.
Yeah, one of the interns was asking me to check the audio and the description for the John and Lance Hour 3, and I was like, I don't know what they talked about. Sorry.
See, I'm not in the building.
I mean, because it is hard to tell the difference between AJ and I understand. We get mixed up all the time. But yeah, that's what happened.
The intern's just swimming, man, drowning, just looking for help, trying to make sure the podcast goes up.
AJ's in the bullpen with
them. Yeah, I know. I get it. They're just looking for help from anyone they can get it from. And at some point, the
person
podcast,
running a show is who they have to ask.
You seem like the responsible one at the moment, so we'll ask you. Look, at some point, the podcast will be something they barely care about, so they won't ask you for anything. But it's very early in the semester, so they're going to try to make sure that show goes up in its correct way. They don't want to mess up. So we will show the intern some grace, and certainly I'll take some grace from Sean because I put him in a bad spot. But Ime Udoka, last night after the game, here are his thoughts on his team and their performance in the fourth quarter.
They have a 46-point quarter. You know, we scored 29, we scored 118, we scored enough points to win. But very soft and uncompetitive defensively, and just going at us one-on-one, and we're complaining about offensive fouls, not boxing out, not doing our assignment, getting back cut, off-ball actions, and that adds up to 46. And so scored enough to win.
It seemed like you were trying to make some substitutions and find somebody who could guard. Did you see anything that you thought was working well?
I mean, a few guys, but not enough. Even our, supposed defenders got cooked tonight.
So we can assume that's maybe a bit of a shot at Dylan Brooks and Amen Thompson. Those are supposed to be the two guys they look to, and Tari Eason, throw him in there as well. The three guys they look to as their wing defensive stoppers. And as I talked about very early in the show, Amen didn't have a great fourth quarter. No one did. You give up 46 points, and he talked about all the defensive breakdowns. So it's not just simply the man-on-man defense. It's the help defense. He mentioned the back cuts. It was poor. That was a game the way we expect them to play defense, that you find a way to win when you're up by that amount going into the fourth quarter. It follows the same formula as either their tight ball games that they win or the tight ball games that they wind up losing. What happens to them in the fourth quarter of these games? I would assume that their problem would be offensive execution. Games get tight. The opponent cares more on defense. It's time to lock in. Let's go get some stops and try to get back in the game. Offense has generally not been their problem, and you heard him. Offense wasn't their problem yesterday. You score 118 on the road. You're supposed to win that game. Hey, a 29-point fourth quarter isn't a bad fourth quarter. There was a time where the teams were going shot for shot. Unfortunately for the Rockets, they entered that quarter up by enough where you would hope they weren't having to play clutch minutes, and they were. And eventually the Knicks made enough shots because at some point the best player on the other team may go pull a game out, and that's what Jalen Brunson did. He, despite his stature and as far as size, he is the best player when you think about these two teams. He has established himself as a killer and a closer. And the stat popped up on Space City Home Network about what he's like at the free throw line late in the game, and he hit the free throws he needed to hit. So when you allow the game to get close, you allow the opponent's best player to make a difference. And he was that. They had a place they can go to possession after possession to go get a good shot or get to the foul line. The Rockets don't consistently have that person. Amen Thompson will have his moments, we know. He made the shot against Boston. Fred VanVleet, when he's out there, will hit shots occasionally. But no one on that Rockets roster is like a Jalen Brunson. Where get out of the way, give him the ball, and we expect him to make a good decision and get us a good shot or get us to the line. And that helped decide the ball game yesterday. So the Rockets go down. They have the Nets tonight, second night of a back-to-back. And I believe it's it'll be the final. Maybe are they playing on the 6th, the trade deadline day? Because that is a day that NBA teams have actually changed their schedules around because they don't want to be in the air when a potential trade goes down. I guess a lot of movement could be expected in the Rockets.
They
play
do
Minnesota.
Play on the 6th.
Yeah, they play at Minnesota, another big game. We'll have sound from the star of the Timberwolves. He responded to the trade for Luka Doncic. And we've seen a lot of this where NBA stars are understanding. And look, this was a very unique scenario, but they are taking it into account and thinking to themselves, no one is safe. So we'll hear from Anthony Edwards during this show. But yes, they do play Minnesota on Thursday. Good game for them. Of course, they have Brooklyn tonight to see if they can bounce back. But will the Rockets make a move? Will this recent run of losing change their approach? Seems doubtful. You don't particularly want a young team to be, or at least a team being run by a young team being run to be at the whims of a couple losses. Like if you're the Bucks and you've lost 4 in a row, and you need some juice because you got to keep Giannis happy. You got to feel like you're a title team. You could see why maybe a Chris Middleton is out the door, or Bobby Portis. Those two contracts can't be combined right now. They'd have to go send a guy out to aggregate, but salaries. But shipping one of those guys out to make a move to improve your roster. The Rockets, you drop a couple games in what at this point is your worst stretch of the season. It's not a big deal, but I wonder if they want to add one more piece, not just for this year as a rental, but someone they believe can help them down the stretch as a complementary piece to whatever you think is their core right now. So trade deadline's approaching. We'll see how active the Rockets are as we get closer and closer. We'll come back with some news for your Texans. They have hired a new OC, and really there's only one reasonable approach to it, because if you're making strong declarations about someone you've never seen call plays before, I think you've lost the plot. We'll talk about the Texans hire, and we will discuss who won as far as philosophy, because we talked about this yesterday. About the reporting from Jonathan Alexander of the Chronicle was that the Texans, or at least D'Amico Ryans and the Texans, were trying to figure out which approach they wanted to go with. The spread them out, shotgun, we're going to throw the ball around and maybe lean into CJ strengths, or did we look to a more balanced approach, something that's more along the lines of Shanahan and McVay? Well, we got our answer, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
Sean, we'll get to the dumb Texan stuff at some point here, but let's get to the important stuff. Did you see the Fantastic Four teaser trailer yet?
No.
Oh. It's only like a minute 18, and it's a period piece set, in, I guess, in the 60s or something. So far, from what I can tell, it looks good. And look, I'm a sucker for Vanessa Kirby ever since I saw her in Mission Impossible Fallout. Like, she played Prince Margaret in The Crown. She was good in that, but yeah, whatever. Playing a pseudo-action star, I was in, and she's in it. She's one of them ones. If she's going to in something, I'm going to pay attention, and she fits the bill, and she's in the movie. She plays Sue Storm. So I'm in. Pedro Pascal's in it. You've got Joseph Quinn. Yeah. You've got Joseph Quinn, if you saw The Quiet Place part, what's it called? The Quiet Place
Day One.
Day One. He is the male lead in that. Mm. Then you've got Cousin.
Yeah.
And they do something that's probably, I wonder if it's a play on his role in the Bear, where there's a cooking segment with him and a robot, and he's telling the robot, "Hey, throw a little garlic in that." I wonder if that's a little bit of a meta thing because of his role in the Bear. So
he's teaching a robot how to make Chicago beef.
I don't know. It might be a pasta. I'm not exactly sure.
Carby will come in and scream at him, and. Then they'll save the world or something.
I don't know. If Carmy was Johnny Flame, we would have some real things to discuss. But
from what I can tell, the thing looks good, and people are giving good reviews for the CGI for the thing. So far, so good with the trailer and the Fantastic Four, which is a big thing for Marvel. They have to get that right, and at least from the trailer, I'm down. But hey, Vanessa Kirby could have been just talking for a minute 10, and I would have been like, great trailer! So we'll see. And Galactus is in it. Looks like he's the main villain, or it is the main villain, so there's that. But the Texans made a move. They hired Nick Cayley as their new OC, and a lot of people are like, well, I thought this was the guy all along, considering how they approach things. I don't know if that's the case. They interviewed quite a few guys for Nick Cayley to be simply the one they were waiting on. He wasn't busy. They could have made this hire a week ago if they wanted to, but Nick Cayley is the guy. He is a former Rams assistant. As Sean has somewhat disrespectfully said, he got Sean McVay his coffee, and that seems to be enough for some people. Being around Sean McVay has made him a good hire, I guess. I don't respect anyone's opinion of this hire, unless they go, well, I don't really know. If you say that and throw that in as your major caveat, cool, because we don't. And it isn't simply just about everybody who's never called. Every OC at some point never called plays before. That's understood. But making any strong statement about what he will be as a play caller, we don't know. Even leaning into what he did with Sean McVay is fine, but Sean McVay was the designer and play caller for that offense, and he also had a veteran quarterback. I know a lot of people are talking about it should be good for CJ to be the one to make all the line calls and determine blocking assignments, but that was done with Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford, a veteran. Matt Stafford got to the Rams nearly fully formed. I'm sure Sean McVay helped them, but Stafford had been through the wars in Detroit. He wasn't young. So is Nick Cayley going to hand the reins over to C.J. Stroud, no matter what people think of C.J. Stroud's football intelligence? That's yet to be seen. I don't remember how Sean McVay treated Jared Goff. I can't speak to what he treated him like as a young player. Was Jared Goff making the calls? And, of course, the two different quarterbacks, maybe C.J. Stroud's more adept at doing that sort of thing than Jared Goff was. But using Matt Stafford and the way they treated him and how he could get things done at the line and saying, well, Nick Cayley is going to bring all that over for C.J. Stroud, I would say wait and see. Wait and see if they think C.J. Stroud's adept enough at doing that to make it work. This is what's generally always going to be the case unless they hired a retread or they did actually get Chip Kelly. We were in wait-and-see mode with the OC. At least you comfort yourself with this. He happened to be around Sean McVay. And that might just be enough for you to feel okay. But I will say this. Check your receipts. Because what were you saying about Bobby Slowick and him happened to be around Kyle Shanahan? What's the difference other than Nick Cayley doesn't have the scars of failing that Bobby Slowick eventually gained by year two of his tenure? And Bobby Slowick, I was just reading, trying to find people's opinions of Bobby Slowick when he was hired. And so you just type his name in and you type in his name and hired, and boy was he getting crushed over the. I couldn't get to 2023 when he was hired because everyone was crushing him before he got fired. Like Jason LaCafora just destroyed him. Said if you are a team who needs an offensive coordinator, in no way, shape, or form should you hire Bobby Slowick because he never adjusted to the rush. He never found a counter to the pass rush. And we watched that throughout the year, how from week one on, the Texans didn't have an answer. Is that all Bobby Slowick? Is that the former O-line coach and Chris Strauss? Or is that a bunch of offensive linemen who aren't capable? We're going to find out. Lance revealed. Maybe he heard it. I think it was Ian Rappaport. We played some sound. We might get to that. Ian Rappaport talked about what happened in Houston and why a move had to be made. And this was partly a player's decision. It was kind of said, because there are multiple people talking in the clip, so it might have been missed that it was a player-led or partly a player-led move to get rid of Bobby Slowick. Well, those players don't have the cover anymore. You can't blame the departed OC and the O-line coach anymore for what you may or not be able to accomplish, and particularly on the O-line. That seemed to be the center of the conversation. It's not strictly on those guys, but you can't player mutiny, and I put that in quotes, how, I don't know how strong they, their feelings were. You can't go against another coach and or O-line coach and OC pairing. You gotta find answers for yourself. And that should be the approach, and that should be how the organization looks at those players if they did take what they said into account. So that's where we are. Nick Caley, the new OC for the Houston Texans, former Rams assistant, he'll be here. D'Amico apparently leaned into that as opposed to the spread shotgun stuff that was talked about in the Chronicle article from yesterday that we discussed. Under center, they're going to run the football. They're going to hope the running game complements C.J. Stroud. So Sean and I, we discussed this yesterday about what this offense was going to lean into and who was going to benefit. And not that this was a decision strictly to make sure Joe Mixon has the best time he could ever have, but if they're going to be that under center Rams offense for quite a bit of their play calls, that helps Joe Mixon. He did not want to go back to an offense that was shotgun. We're going to spread it out and run from the shotgun.
And by the way, this really does show how much standing next to Sean McVay like defines you as a coach. Because he stood next to Sean McVay for 2 years as yep. tight ends coach and tight ends coach and passing game coordinator. He was with the Patriots. Like, his only other NFL experience is as the Patriots back in 2015, offensive assistant, 17-19 tight ends coach, 2021 tight ends and fullbacks coach, 2022 he got the fullbacks coach title stripped away from him. He went back to just being a tight, or they just stopped having a tight or a fullback. But he's more of a Patriots guy, and also he went to college at the same college that Nick Caserio went to. So yeah, this feels like much more of a Caserio, or maybe not a Caserio move, but I would be shocked if Caserio wasn't the one that was like, "Hey, D'Amico, you know who we should call? Nick Caley. Just sit down, talk to him. Let's interview him. See what he's all about."
We know what the perception would be if he did not have the McVay Rams buffer. That, oh, Nick Caserio went and got not only a guy he went to school with, but another Patriot guy. And would we be feeling the same way? And I say we as the collective we, because I'm mostly wait and see as opposed to being excited about this hire. If all he had on his resume is he worked under Josh McDaniel and he was a Patriot guy. Because Patriots guys are like mud right now. The thought of hiring a Patriots guy here to call plays, would that be exciting? I think you're right. I think the Sean McVay rub is the biggest thing right now to keep this from being, oh, okay, Caserio just hired somebody he knows. Is this going to be really good? Feels like an inside job, and Patriots assistants aren't exactly the type of guys we want. But you know what? Sean McVay's a genius. He won a Super Bowl. He's been a couple, and Nick Caley was around him, so we're going to give it a stamp of approval because we don't really have any. We don't really know who's good and yeah. who isn't, but at least he's been in that Rams organization.
Yeah, it's like, and even like the whole, we don't know how he'll let CJ handle the protections and what he'll let CJ do at the line. It's like, there's no way to know that because you can't even really look at how Sean McVay handles quarterbacks because he was only with Sean McVay for 2 years.
Yeah.
And before that, he was, you know, Titans coach for from 2015 to 2022. So just a giant however many different offensive coordinators the Patriots had in that time. It's like we have no idea what this guy's all about.
Yeah, the excitement over CJ's going to be able to operate and call, make the line calls and do everything in the line scrims. How do you know? That offense might come over here and Nick Caley goes, I'm not going to entrust my career to a young quarterback who isn't ready for the moment. That will be found out in practices and meetings if CJ Stroud's ready to be the guy that Nick Caley, a first-time play caller, hands his entire career over to. Because we know that's part of the rub when it comes to young OCs. Bobby Slowick was with CJ Stroud, and last year, as I was looking up things about Bobby Slowick initially being hired by the Texans, scrolling down the list of things and mentions, I saw people talk about how lucky the Panthers would be to be able to hire Bobby Sloak to be their head coach. And that was a couple tweets or posts below Jason Lockenford telling the world that Bobby Sloak should be nowhere near an NFL offense after 2024. So is Kaylee going to be so trustworthy or trustful of C.J. Stroud that he goes, here, this is you. This is all you. You run things because I'm gonna place my future in your hands. We will see. They'll figure that out as they get to know each other going forward. Okay. We'll come back with that Ian Rappaport sound on what led to Bobby Sloak departing and why Nick Kaylee is the new OC. Gary, you want to talk about this? We'll get to you. Anyone else want to get in on that or the Rockets or anything else? You can. 713-780-3776. But first, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. It's a place you go to when you need a pre-owned car, a brand-new car, or something for your business. They handle all three of those. If you are a new business owner or you've had your business for a while and you want to add to your fleet, that's the place you go to. If you are looking for a new car for yourself or someone in your family and you want a great experience getting that car, and obviously you want a car that's great once you drive it off the lot, whether it be a Blazer, a Trax, or a Tahoe, you go to Monument Chevrolet for that. You can check out that entire inventory at monumentchevrolet.com. And if you are not sure about something new, you want something reliable and great, but it doesn't have to be new, they have a great stock of pre-owned cars, and that inventory is there for you at the website, too. And the best part, or at least one of the good parts about going to Monument Chevrolet, is they're offering that warranty, a 6-month, 6,000-mile warranty for pre-owned vehicles. So you get on the lot, you check it out, and you drive it off the lot, and you go, you know what? It's pre-owned. Am I going to be happy with this? Is it going to work out for me? First, yes. And if there does become a problem, the warranty is there for you to protect you from anything, because Miami Chevrolet understands. Car buying can be a little apprehensive for people, and they want to put you in the best spot to not only enjoy your car, but enjoy the experience overall, because they want you to be part of their family for generations to come. You get a car there, your daughter gets a car there, your son gets a car there, your wife gets a car there, your husband gets a car there. Everyone should be going to Monument Chevrolet to get their car. So check them out at monumentchevrolet.com and then head on out there off Beltway 8 and 225 in Pasadena. From these friendly salespeople to the great vehicles, is all there for you at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're back inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles, with Del Olalea.
That's right. I am at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. John and Lance have departed for the day. We've been here since yesterday. We're wrapping up our time here. Great place to hang out, from the food to the gambling. If you love cards, you love slots, it's all here for you. And of course, the amenities are always great at the Golden Nugget. Let's get to Gary here. Gary wants to talk about the Texans OC. What's up, Gary?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Do we know how many OCs or quarterbacks, I mean OCs, are actually calling plays or in the league or not? The reason I'm asking is because, like for instance, that Josh Allen situation, at the most inept time, when they didn't shift that line, I think he was the one, and I'm wanting to know if we know, we may not know, is that the quarterback, who's making that call? Because my concern is that when we get that opportunity from the Texans and we're in a big game and that last drive or whatever, will they be able to make the right read or call? And that's why I was asking, who is it, primarily the OCs doing it in the majority of the league, or do some quarterbacks, I mean, I'm assuming the Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen have the wherewithal or the leeway to do what they decide or not. I'm not sure. Have you guys heard of it being a quarterback deal mostly, primarily, or half and half, or what? Do we know?
It's not a very definitive answer, Gary, but the answer is it depends. And some of it's not just play calling. Like in the Josh Allen example, that's a protection thing, And is that on the center with the, for what Joe Brady wants for them, or is that a Josh Allen issue? And the Texans did not ask CJ to do a lot of that last year, and that's why some people are excited, because they believe a Sean McVay offense will ask their quarterback to do that. Plays are different. Generally, that is going to be in the hands of the OC, or if the head coach is the play caller, his responsibilities. And then the quarterback can have the freedom of changing something if he sees something he likes. But protections, all of it is more dependent on the offense and what the OC likes. He may just put it in a veteran center's hands. The Texans don't have a veteran center, not one that has enough pelts on the wall that should be able to do that. So it could be, or at least trusted to do that right now, particularly in this offense that's coming in. So I think that's something they'll figure out in practice and in camp, and they'll decide who's best suited to make those type of calls when it matters. Because, yes, you watch a call that's still being discussed. I saw it this morning. We still had Orlovsky talking about going against the Chiefs defense and what you need to do, and he showed the play where Josh Allen or the center did not make the right call in protections, and it caused the pressure that led to the incomplete pass. You want your quarterback and your offense as a whole to be ready for that situation, because it can potentially decide your fate when it comes to making a Super Bowl. So we hope to be in a situation like that, and you want your quarterback and your offense to have an answer. I just don't know right now who will be taking the lead on that, and you hope whoever it is gets the right answer, because the Bills didn't, and you see why they're not playing. Part of the reason they're not playing in the Super Bowl is because they didn't have the right answer for one of the best DCs in the league, who generally makes quarterbacks look foolish when he needs them to. So, Gary, I appreciate that. It really is. It depends, and we'll see what side the Texans land on when it comes to that. So, as we go forward with the news that the Texans have hired Nick Haley, we have Ian Rappaport discussing the hire. And I mentioned that there were some player influence on the move, because Slowick and D'Amico appeared to be close, at least that's what we thought. And the thought for some was he wasn't going to fire this guy. Not after year two. He was going to give him another year with a young quarterback to figure some things out. And yet he had to go. And was this purely a D'Amico thing? Were the Texans listening to the fans? And are they a team that's going to respond to fan discontent by making a move? Because they're all about throwing up the H and keeping people happy, because that's their branding. Or maybe it was a player thing as well. So here's Ian Rappaport on the Slowick dismissal and the Haley hiring.
That's right. As Ian and I posted just a short time ago, the Texans have their new offensive coordinator. It is Nick Haley. He was a longtime Patriots assistant, spent the past couple of years in L.A. with Sean McVay, most recently as the Rams tight ends coach and pass game coordinator. He's 42 years old, has been in the mix for other offensive coordinator jobs here in recent years. Important to note, Bobby Slowick, of course, came with D'Amico Ryans from San Francisco, learned under the Kyle Shanahan mode of offense. Haley, that's another branch of the same tree, learning under Sean McVay here. So probably not a huge departure, Ian, in terms of what they're doing. Firing Bobby Slowick, moving on with something they felt like they had to do, and they think they've got the right man to fill that void in Nick Haley.
Yeah, and it sounded like that was one of the toughest decisions that D'Amico Ryans has had to make. Bobby Slowick, one of his good friends, came up in coaching, decided to move on, because I think it was pretty clear, Tom, the Texans' offense this year was just not what it was last year. I think specifically the protection issues up front were really the thing that plagued this team. I know there's several offensive linemen kind of internally were like, change needs to happen. Haley comes in. It sounds like they're going to have continuity.
Why is this guy going to?
It sounds like they're going to have continuity system wise. Hopefully, 26. Protect better up front and get C.J. Stroud thriving like he was as a rookie. Meanwhile, while we're talking here, this guy's also talking. I'm actually not
still going.
So they get distracted with this, and we can cut that off right here. But there it is. Some linemen internally said a change needed to be made. It's unfair to point at a lineman and go, it was him who had a problem. You guys can guess if you want. I don't know. It's if I'm being responsible, I can say I don't know which lineman had a big issue, or at least enough of an issue with Bobby Slowick that they believe he had to go. But that is an interesting part of this, that it very well could have been player D'Amico front office all had a part to play in dismissing Bobby Slowick. And the question for me is, how much influence did those offensive linemen have? Because if it was enough to convince D'Amico otherwise, then I think that's a problem. Now, you may think Bobby Slowick had to go anyway. But if your coach was more steadfast than it turned out to be, at least the result turned out to be, if he was more steadfast in believing in Bobby Slowick and got pushed a certain direction because of player influence, it ain't great. It ain't great, particularly when we can look at some of these players and say, you guys weren't picking up the simplest of stunts. So is that a Bobby Slowick issue when a simple T-E twist is enough to throw you guys off track and let a guy run free? They made the determination that Strausser had to go, and maybe the offensive lineman said that wasn't enough. At least some of them did, and that's why you have Nick Caley here. Y'all hope it works out. However you found your answer to what you thought was a problem, you hope it works out. I think the lack of cover is done for. Bobby Slowick was the easy out. Fire him. Get rid of him. Hey, D'Amico did the hard part, right? He fired this guy. You want that from your head coach to make good decisions. Now you have to prove that you can make a different decision and a good one when it comes to hiring your new OC, because you've already failed once. And it's tough to put that word on Bobby Slowick, but you don't make it through year two and your offense takes a giant step back. Your bottom 10 offense, you failed. And you could say, despite winning the division, the offense 2 years in is a failure. Now, do you have an answer to fix it? And you have to hope Nick Caley is that answer. But I don't think they should. I don't think they're done. I don't think Nick Caley is the one-stop solution to all this. You have to find some answers in the interior with your offensive line. Whether you think Titus Howard can develop into an average guard, and I use average because he's not a good one right now, and it's a reason. It's a reason beyond the fact that they paid him to pay right tackle that they should be looking at potentially three guys on the inside. As if you can find improvements there, go do it. Money will play a factor. Will Shaq Mason be a cap cut? That's a possibility. But I think beyond the OC hire, the OC and the O-line coach need to put their stamp on this offense. And by that, I mean replace that interior. Find answers. Whether you in this system elevates the likes of Patterson and Scruggs to be better players, I think that might be more of a dream than anything else. But your center guard thing is not viable right now, and that needs to be fixed. I just got a good job from someone. I appreciate that, sir. He was watching me do the show. All right, let's get the break here. We will come back with we'll do more text and stuff as we go on, but there's just some other stuff to get to because Sean and I talk a lot of college football, and I haven't talked about this, the Matt Rhule thing, and I'll tell you what that is. Cowardly. I can't stand a coach who can't adapt and has a problem with his job being made harder. So he's going to potentially kill off a Nebraska tradition because he's afraid of what it might do to his roster. So we'll get to that when we come back. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And today, and just like almost every day, you get little bonuses if you have the Prize Picks app. Just now, like 10 minutes ago, I got a notification that I have a free lineup up to $15 using NBA squares on Prize Picks. Prize Picks is always offering different deals, such as the Patrick Mahomes to throw more than half a yard in the big game. And today is a Tuesday. I'm sure I'll be getting alerts for some reduced player projections for Taco Tuesday. That's right. Taco Tuesday, every Tuesday on Prize Picks. They're trying to help you get some money in your pockets by using Prize Picks and going in. What do you like in the NBA? What do you like in the NFL? We're coming up on that game on Sunday, and you gotta get in on Prize Picks in time for the game. So what do you do? Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $15 when you play put in a $5 lineup. It's guaranteed. You don't even need to win to get that money. Just go to Prize Picks. Run your game.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
And if you're wondering what we look like in an empty sports book, anywhere between 7 and 10 a.m., you can find those pictures up on ESPN 97.5. All the socials, whether it be Instagram or Twitter, they're up there for you. John, Lance, and I in various positions talking about sports. You can find them. Sam, being the boss of us, got those pictures up, so you can check them out there. Twitter, Instagram, they're all there for you. And I did want to mention this before we kept going. We have our occasional invitational tournament coming up here on Fat Tuesday, March 4th. It's benefiting Kids Meals, the ESPN 975 and 925 Occasional Invitational. And this year's tournament is going to be at Wildcat Golf Club. Starts at noon. Each golfer is going to receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch/dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, and 18 holes of golf. You can register now at ESPN975.com under the Promotions tab and use code EARLYBIRD for a $97.50 registration for a limited time. So we do it, as you can tell by the title, occasionally, and this year is to benefit Kids Meals, so certainly a great cause, and Wildcat always puts on a good tournament. You might even call it John's home course, although he is America's guest, so any place he goes, he's going to find a way onto a golf course. But Wildcat's one of his favorites, so you'll see him out there. You'll see us out there for the occasional invitational. Sean, you don't have to worry about this anymore, but I'm looking at it on ESPNU, and the Big 12 is doing their football schedule reveal
in February.
So you're in a different conference. Who wouldn't dare, who wouldn't deign to and demean themselves by having a schedule reveal on ESPNU in February, but it's out there. The Big 12 is trying to find a space to make themselves special, and they're going through all the teams and showing the schedule. It's like a great value or good value version of the NFL one with absolutely no hype behind it, and on ESPNU.
At a certain point, if you're going to have it at 10:54 on ESPNU, do you need to do a schedule release show?
Like, that's a question. It's a question. Maybe
a pertinent
one.
The NFL gets to do one because it'll be on ESPN and NFL Network.
Yeah. In prime time.
Does it because it's on the ACC gets to do it because it's on ACC Network.
And they have their own network, yeah.
Big Ten, again, on Big Ten Network.
Have their own network, yep.
I don't know if you either don't have your own network or can't put it on a network, like you can't put it on ESPN or ESPN2. I don't know if we need to be doing this
on a Tuesday in the morning. It's not exactly hitting the same, and you got to wonder, like, were there leaks? Were there Big 12 reporters leaking their big games? Like,
yeah.
Oh, you know, you've got UCF going to West Virginia, and that game leaks early. Are we getting those type of things like we do in the NFL?
I'm here in Colorado, UH. That's gonna be September 21st. All right?
Yeah,
it's gonna be an early season matchup.
Defending champion. Who the hell is the Big 12 defending champion?
Arizona State.
Arizona State defending. Yeah, that's right. Arizona State put up a good fight against Texas. But they put up a good fight. 4th and 13 happened, but they put up a good fight. Defending champion Arizona State goes on the road to face revamped Colorado in a Friday night game. We don't get any of that type of stuff with the Big 12. Yeah, you're right. Probably just do it. I mean, if you're gonna
put it on your website, here's the schedule. Upload the PDF.
Yeah, if you're gonna put it on ESPNU in the middle of the morning, don't make it a big deal. Don't make it a big deal. It seems, I won't say pointless, but not worth the time.
It's more. Unseen.
You'd be better off showing replays of the best Big 12 games at this point in the day. Just that's how you highlight your conference. Have a day. You point people to the website, but have a day of the best Big 12 games right on ESPNU. You do better than announcing that West Virginia is hosting Oklahoma State on September 18th.
Whoa, early.
That's a. I don't know. That's a fake date. I have
that's
no idea.
The first one. Oh.
I have no idea when they play or if even.
Rich Rod. He's gonna have to get them ready early.
If they play, this seems like a nice idea, but when you're sequestered to ESPNU, not getting the impact you think you should. So there it is. You can find the Big 12 schedules out, I assume, by now, unless they're drip dropping it, and
no.
each schedule doesn't get released until ESPNU talks about it.
I saw a UH reporter tweet out the entire UH schedule.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Or at least they've already done U of A. Maybe they're going alphabetically, and there's, you know, 28 teams in the Big 12 now. So
it's not that many, but they're quite a few.
But quite a few. You know, you're still waiting on West Virginia, but I think most of the schedule's out.
All right, so we have that reveal. We'll get to my issue with Matt Rhule when we come back. I mean, it's soft. I don't know if coward's the word I would use, but it's soft what he's up to. And I can't wait for the eventual coach, the new coach at Nebraska, because, yes, you go to Nebraska, you're planning to get fired or you're planning to take a new job. And losing 13 games in your first two seasons would suggest that Matt Rhule ain't on a trajectory to go take a job at a bigger institution. So most likely, as it stands right now, he's going to follow his predecessor and that guy's predecessor and that guy's predecessor and get fired at Nebraska. And the first thing the new coach is going to do is reverse a potential decision that Matt Rhule looks to be about to make. So we'll talk about that in the second hour of the show when we get back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in. Lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Our final hour at the Golden Nugget here in Lake Charles. We're in the DraftKings Sportsbook. We've been here the last couple days. And happy to be here. They always show us a good time. And, would love to come back whenever that is, whenever it suits them. We'll get to the Matt Rhule story here because college coaches are the worst sometimes. But first we'll get to Julian, who sometimes is the worst as well, and he wants to talk Myles Garrett. And, of course, he has the thought of Myles Garrett being traded to the 49ers. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Jive Turkey. And, yes, I can be the worst, and I love it. So, with that being said, Cleveland needs a playmaker on the outside. Deebo Samuels can be a playmaker for them. Yes, I get it. He isn't the Deebo All-Pro that he was a couple years ago, but he can still be effective. Not only that, I think that they could force-feed him the ball more. With the Niners, it's a lot of heads they got to feed, and it's more so Kittle before him. Now, I say that with Deebo, maybe 2 seconds and a third, just because I don't feel like Cleveland has the leverage. You already have someone asking for a trade. It's different than you shopping them around without the request. I know it seems silly, but the cap, you got to look at the numbers too. Deebo's cap, they lowered it, but it's still fairly high. Garrett's only $19 million this year and I think $20 million next year. It's not so far-fetched. It's not 30 like Bosa has or whatnot. Have a good day, gentlemen.
He hung up before I was going to be able to ask him a question. And let's not do the numbers and how it affects the cap, because the reviews are in on that stuff from this morning, and people hated it. People hate math on the air about contracts and how teams will be team's caps would be disrupted by making a trade. So let's not do that. But let's talk about his proposal. Numbers aside, I'll ask anyone then, since he's gone, why do the Browns want a 29-year-old non-route running wide receiver? Understand they have to trade Myles Garrett, and you did throw in draft compensation, but the allure that you're using is, hey, don't you want Deebo Samuel? Why do I want 29-year-old Deebo Samuel as a Brown? To do what? The Browns aren't going to be good, and it's different than the NBA, where you can, when not only do you get draft picks, you can go trade for a promising young player that doesn't cost a lot. It's just different mechanisms, but I'm not trading Myles Garrett for a 29-year-old receiver who isn't even really a real wide receiver if he's not running a slant route or an option route. What is Deebo Samuel providing for the Browns? For a yet-to-be-named quarterback, because Deshaun Watson won't be playing quarterback for them next year. So while I understand you're trying to improve your team, who is on its last legs, Julian, when it comes to potentially contending, you might want to pack it up too, as far as trying to acquire big names for that 49ers team. You might want to look at that team potentially taking a different approach right here. They may have one more year in them. But if I'm the Browns, Deebo can stay in San Francisco. I'm not trading Myles Garrett for Deebo Samuels. It's picks, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you actually just give us more picks so we don't have to take Deebo?
Yeah. In fact, if you want us to take Deebo Samuel, give us more picks along with the picks you're trading for Myles Garrett. Because right now, is Deebo Samuel a positive asset right now when you throw in the contract for a team who is in no way competing? No. It would take more. In fact, Julian, you're better off trying to dupe the Browns into just giving him to you for picks. Because if you were trying to get off Deebo Samuel with me, you're throwing in more picks to make that happen. Deebo Samuel. There's a reason you want off of him. Now you're trying to dump him on another team. I get it. When you open up the trade machine, you only think of it from your perspective and how it could help your team. And you try to be fair, but your asset ain't a great one.
Yeah, yeah. Credit to Deebo Samuel. I thought he was hurt this year. Played 15 games.
No, he played. Yeah, just didn't play that great.
670 yards, but
yeah,
three touchdowns.
Yeah, as I said, that guy ain't a positive asset right now. Didn't he just get a new deal? And he has, and his play has dipped considerably. Now, the 49ers have – now, I don't want to get into the numbers. There's an out there, but like I was told and I felt as it was going on, math, particularly contract math, ain't great.
Especially
so we won't
NFL
get into that.
NFL contract math.
Yeah, it's so confusing.
So much of it is like, well, they can move that to a signing bonus. Like,
yeah.
Tell me if the deal works or not.
At least with the NBA, you can just look at numbers and go, this deal matches up.
It's like addition.
They can make the trade. Yeah, it's pretty easy. You feel like you're doing algebra and maybe even more complicated math when it comes to the NFL. Okay, so the Matt Rhule story. Matt Rhule is upset because he's afraid his players will continue to get poached. That is part of the – speaking of math, that is part of the math you have to do when you are a head coach in today's college football. When you are recruiting guys, high school kids, you have to understand that even after spring, what you think is your full roster may not be, and so you have to maybe account for – do I have to go back into the portal and go get some guys as replacements? And that's what Matt Rhule was trying to avoid because last time around, last cycle, he lost players after his public televised spring game. And, you know, instead of stepping up his NIL bag game or having different conversations with players, his potential out is to take his spring game and go home. He is potentially going to cancel the Nebraska spring game because he – in his mind, is asking himself, why would I have a spring game when people are just going to take players off my roster anyway? So, the Nebraska spring game has been around since 1950. And because it's a little too tough for Matt Rhule to deal with roster volatility, he would like to cancel it. So, what are we talking about now? I mean, of course, there have been interruptions, but for the most part, since we're talking about 74 years going into 75 years of Nebraska spring games, and those get pretty well attended. In some spring games, people don't show up for, and it may not matter. But Big Red loves themselves some Nebraska football. Make all the jokes about it's Lincoln, there ain't nothing to do but go watch them play football. And you'd probably be right. I wouldn't tell you you're wrong with those jokes, but they show up to these spring games. It's part of the tradition, 75 years of it, and he wants to get rid of it because his job gets a little tougher. And I got to say, it's soft. It's soft. College coaches always do this. When things don't go explicitly like they want, things need to change. Matt Rhule, everyone's going to deal with this. Everyone's going to lose guys, and you think specifically because of the spring game you're going to lose guys. Your guys are sending out film from their practices, not just a spring game. You watch college players once they enter the portal, particularly at this time of the year, or at least deeper into the spring. You will see them put up their highlights, their practice highlights, on Twitter and talk about how they're open and they're in the portal. They will, and those clips that they're putting out on Twitter are the same ones they're sending to prospective teams who they may have some interest in going to play for. So I don't believe strictly the spring game being highlighted on Big Ten Network is the reason you're losing guys. Your guys are reaching out. They're being reached out to just like any other program has to deal with. But, you know, let's cancel the spring game. Let's cancel the spring game to avoid it. And I don't see any place else this happening. Maybe I'll be wrong, and this will become a trend because Matt Rhule may do it, and maybe a couple more of his guys will stay. And then college coaches who are looking for the path of least resistance will do the same thing. But it's not even the practice. That's what it is. It's just glorified practice. But it's about it being a recruiting event. It's about getting people who have been away from the program since your last home game to come back. And it's a donation type of deal. There's a lot that goes into a spring game other than just running those guys out there for a glorified practice. So we will see if the people at Nebraska, after he's lost 13 games in two seasons, are just going to be like, you know what, Matt? Yeah. We're going to let you cancel this potential money-making venture because you're afraid that a couple guys are going to get taken. Sure. We will see. 75 years of tradition out the door because Matt Rhule's a little soft. Hey, win more games. You know what? You know what keeps your guys in your program if you win games? Oh, because if you're a talented player in Nebraska, why are you hanging out in Nebraska if you're going to lose 6 and 7 games a year? And one more thing. Possibly talk to your quarterback with the cosplay. Maybe knock off the cosplay. Maybe have a conversation with your soon-to-be sophomore quarterback about finding his own identity instead of being Patrick Mahomes.
That's what he's worried about. Worried
going
about
to Tech. That kid going to Tech, is that
yeah,
what he's worried
Texas
about?
Texas Tech is going to see, like, wait, that guy, wait, how did we not recruit this guy to high school? Let's throw a bag of money at Jordan Raiola. He looks just like Patrick Mahomes.
Maybe
he's worried
Jordan
about
Raiola.
The Chiefs picking him up, actually.
Maybe Jordan Raiola would play better. Dylan's the guy, and he is, and he perhaps wouldn't win a lot of games at Tech because the actual Patrick Mahomes didn't win enough games at Tech. Maybe that's a Cliff Kingsbury thing you want to blame. But
hey, do you want to go 7-5 or 5-7? Come to Tech. Come to
and
Texas.
You know what?
Leave it's 5-7 in Nebraska. Come to 7-5.
7-6. 7-6 this past year.
I forgot they made their first bowl game since 2016.
And won it. Was it the Pinstripe Bowl that they won?
They
And they won that game.
They
so he's on a hot
in Yankee Stadium. They won a football game.
Yeah, you win a football game in a baseball stadium in the postseason.
Everyone's going to steal their players if they have a practice on TV.
Yeah, we didn't see those players for, you know, 13 games this past season. That wasn't enough to get them out of your program. But we're going to watch them in, I guess, their months that they had to improve since their last game show out against other Nebraska players and go, well, got to take them now.
You know what?
It was a spring game that got it done.
The 16th practice that they had this spring, that's when it all came together.
That's right.
Ready to take their linebacker.
That's right. Or perhaps, Matt Rhule, your players were always had a foot out the door, and they were just going to wait to make sure a spot opened up for them, and then they left. Not that they were players who weren't getting a lot of attention, and then they played in your spring game. Some portal scout locked in and go, hey, that guy's pretty good. Let's grab him. Those guys are probably already being reached out to and wanted to make sure with the prospective new teams coming after them that there was going to be a spot available for them after those program springs, and then they made a move, perhaps. But let's get rid of the spring game and see how it works out for you. I would just say win more games. Win more games because you know what's going to happen. If this goes the way it goes for all Nebraska coaches in the last 30 years, the first thing that new coach is going to do is bring back the spring game and go, you know what? What that other guy did, he won't even mention him by name.
Yeah. It's about the community. They forgot about the community of Nebraska football, which is one of the best aspects of Nebraska football. That's why we're bringing it back. Bring your kids. Bring the whole family.
He will sell all of that. We are about tradition at Nebraska, and it was sacrilegious that the spring game was canceled. We're bringing it back. Big Red is back, and everyone's going to lose their minds. It's an easy win for the new coach if Matt Rhule decides to cancel the spring game.
He's giving Matt Campbell a free layup in 2 years.
Yeah, well, Matt Campbell to Nebraska. Sean's calling a shot. We'll get to somebody who called a shot years ago, and now it might come back to benefit him if the Chiefs find a way to win their third straight. We'll get to that in a bit because a deal has been struck between a certain man who resides in South Florida and the NFL about a trademark. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Matt Rhule, cut it out. But before we do all that, let's talk about MyBookie. MyBookie is the place you go to if you want to put some money down on the big game and you think the Chiefs may secure a third straight Super Bowl title. Maybe you think the Eagles will win. You can put some money down on the Eagles. And it's not just about the game itself. We got all the props, whether you think President Trump will tweet, what the Gatorade color will be. All that stuff is available for you at MyBookie to celebrate the big game, number 59. MyBookie. You know the tagline. You go to the website. It's right there in front of you. You can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. So they are leaning into that with the big game. So you've got that game on Sunday. You've got basketball tonight. You've got basketball throughout the week, of course. College basketball, NBA, UFC, boxing is all there for you to join in on MyBookie. And they have a 50% match up to $1,000. Use that promo code BET975 when you're on the site. And just take a look. Maybe, hell, I'm in a casino right now. Maybe you want to play cards. They let you do that, too. They have a live casino option where you can watch the cards being dealt and play poker or blackjack. They got it all for you at mybookie.ag. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
I'm aware that I side on the minority when it comes to the Super Bowl. If the Chiefs win, I won't be bothered by it at all. In fact, because the Eagles are on the other side, I want the Chiefs to win because I don't want good things to happen for the city of Philadelphia. Well, somebody who's actually really rooting for the Chiefs and cares because it'll affect his pockets is Pat Riley. He trademarked three-peat way back when he was the Lakers coach and they were trying to go for their third straight title. Well, he and the NFL have struck a deal. I didn't know Riley had his own company, but it's called Riley & Co., and the NFL will get to use the three-peat slogan on merchandise if the Chiefs win. So, Sean, does it make you feel worse or better about the Chiefs potentially winning a third straight, knowing that Pat Riley is going to benefit from it if they do?
I guess it makes me feel – I mean, the Pat Riley benefiting part – the guy needs a win, so I'm happy for him.
He is dealing with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Yes.
He should, you know what? He should be less worried about trademarks and more worried about trades. How about that?
Well, we might get into that a little bit later,
yeah,
too. Yeah.
Come on. No, I'm pro this just because that means we won't have to have some, like, knockoff phrase for the Chiefs where
– some poor
– yeah.
Poor amalgamation of them winning three. Yeah. Yeah, we don't have to watch three trees on shirts and hats and
stuff
like
that. Yeah, it's
like
no, they just get the phrase that makes the most sense.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. It's simpler. Some creative force in the NFL offices doesn't have to come up with something that incorporates three and Chiefs together. We can just call it three. But
KC,
you know, that's
three. Something.
That's going to happen anyway, but at least some of the official NFL merchandise to begin with will just have three-peat on it if they happen to win.
The ones with the really terrible sayings you're going to have to buy out of some Kansas City area man's trunk of his car.
Likely,
at a tailgate next season.
Sure.
But I'm glad that, you know, the good people over at the NFL and Fanatics can just use three-peat.
Yeah, Fanatics. Let's see if they're the quality of their
It might be misspelled, but
yeah, if where the it might be spelled the A in Eagles might be out of place if they win it. Who
it's
knows
spelled how that mayor spelled it?
Yeah, maybe you know that should be something they do to honor the city of Philadelphia. Just hey, an inside joke for anyone who knows what we're talking about there. I'm speaking of trades. I'm looking at all the TVs here in the DraftKings Sportsbook, and there's Luka. He decided to wear something slimming. He goes, hey, guys, all that 270 stuff, it might be true, but I'm a slim 270. Yeah. So he's up there for his introductory press conference, and they did it kind of like a town hall, no desk, no dais. It's just him and Palinka sitting on stools talking to the media.
Palinka wearing a motorcycle jacket, or not a motor, like a leather jacket that's very, like, I live in L.A.
It's L.A., man. That's exactly what it is.
And then, meanwhile, you have Luka wearing a cardigan, like he got... Or a sweater, crew neck, like he got called into the principal's office.
Yeah, I don't know the PR team behind Luka and how they made that decision. But yeah, he is up there looking dapper, talking to the LA media. But he's got his Luka's a Laker. I don't know. I don't know. I still don't even really know what to think of it. Other than it happened, it's real. Shams even approached it that way. Hey guys, I swear this is real. And now we've got real confirmation. He is sitting in LA.
I had to say, Shams, even the quote tweet saying like, "Hey, this is real," made me think that it's even
it was
more
fake. Yeah,
he should have like just done a selfie video and been like, "I am the real Shams Charania. I am saying that this trade is happening." Like, he might have taken 5 seconds.
And we know he has the capabilities. He does all those hits he does across the media platform, all the media spaces with a camera in front of him. We know Chris Haynes has his own apparatus where he will put a 45 second clip of him sitting in
a
studio
report.
Announcing
with
music and
it
and,
could just be pick up the phone that you're tweeting this out with and just do a selfie. Video of like
he doesn't want that bad angle,
God,
man.
This is for real.
He doesn't want that bad angle. He presents himself. He can't disappoint Kay Adams. He's got to look good.
Today's newspaper. I am Shams Charania. I am saying that he is getting traded.
Nah, he wants to present himself a certain way. He was going to need the full on makeup and everything.
That's probably what it was. He didn't have his hair.
Yeah, you know, it's the middle of the night.
Cut. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to get the barber in all those things.
It's like, I'm seeing my barber tomorrow. Damn it.
Why couldn't
have Nico Harrison hold off one day?
Yeah, breaking news is a TV presentation thing, even on Twitter now. So he understands the video has. There's got to be video. He's got to look great, and that's why Shams didn't show up in some dark room with his camera up his nose, telling everyone this is real and he's not kidding.
You don't have to do it up your nose. You don't have to do it like your Ed Werder.
I don't.
Like you can do it. I mean,
that's what Shams is trying to avoid. He don't want an Ed Werder situation.
I mean, but he's 31 or however old he is. Like, he can figure out how to take a selfie video that looks decent.
Just so
the world doesn't spend 10 minutes ripping themselves apart with, is this fake or not?
Maybe he likes the chaos. Maybe he's a chaos agent,
he is an agent of chaos.
And he liked and he liked what he saw when people didn't believe him. It just helps his cause. And now with Woj out the door, trying to help the Bonnies return to prominence or get to prominence, Shams is the CJ McCollum, I guess.
That was Lehigh.
See, my point made. My point is made.
I think, Kylo Quinn.
Oh yeah, the great Kylo Quinn, the
Andrew
former.
Nicholson, maybe?
Was he a Lehigh guy? Was he a Bonnie? Who knows? But I think my point remains. Return to prominence is not the correct phrase. Get the prominence is what Woj is up to. And while Shams is taking control, he's got the biggest story since Woj's retirement. Luka Doncic in L.A. in the middle of a press conference telling everyone how happy he is to be a Laker and how he loves Dallas and no ill will. He may take a thinly veiled shot at the front office, but, you know, he's going to let the Dallas fans know he loves them. So there that is.
He had the very – I just saw it already aggregated 1,000 times. Uh-huh. He already had the – you know, I just wish Kobe was here to see this. Like, oh, what an easy PR. Do they just tell that to everyone who gets traded to the Lakers, being like, man, I wish Kobe was here for this. Like, and all Laker fans are going to be like, wow, he is one of us. He's born to be a Laker. He cares
toss out some Mamba mentality, honor Kobe,
exactly.
And you're good. And you're good, right? You got to mention them. Now, I'm in the DraftKings Sportsbook, so there are multiple networks carrying this. We have Pat McAfee taking it live. We've got NBA TV taking it live through the Spectrum Sportsnet, which is the LA local broadcaster. And I would ask, if I'm Luka going forward, hey guys, when you're running my press conference, don't have a small box of me limping around as a Maverick while you're doing it, because while he's up there talking, there's like B-roll from the playoffs and beyond of Luka limping around, struggling, and yeah. Luka's always looks like he's about to be out for the year, and you know, this is a time to celebrate me.
Yeah,
not showcasing all the issues maybe the Mavs had with me and why I'm actually here right now.
Just stick to the TikTok highlight package.
Yeah, show me balling and hitting Rudy Gobert with multiple crossovers and me barking at him as he's not looking at me when I made that shot in the playoffs. That stuff is good. Show me holding the Western Conference Final trophy with that championship hat on. Don't show me limping around with me checking my ankle to see if there's blood. Don't do that. But that's what the local team did. Spectrum Sportsnet. They're gonna learn. He's on your team now.
Yeah.
You do that when propaganda. You're making fun of Luka. You do that when Luka's on the other team and you want to showcase how he's soft and he ain't one of them ones. He's your guy. They'll learn. They'll figure it out.
One of them ones.
Not if you're Nico Harrison. He's not. And that'll haunt Nico Harrison for the rest of his tenure, no matter how long it is in Dallas. Okay, we got a couple more segments to go before we're out of here at the Golden Nugget. The DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. So if you want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776 is the number. We will get more into the Rock as we get back into them. They had an unfortunate loss in New York where their defense let them down, and the numbers in the fourth quarter aren't great. So we'll get to that here. And before we go, Sean and I will take you till noon, and then the Killer Bees follow Gallant and George. So Gallant and George at noon, the Killer Bees after them as we continue to get you through your sports day. But before we get to all that, let's talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You go to Aqueduct Plumbing Company right now if you've got any type of plumbing issue. It could be small, it could be big. It doesn't matter. We all know you don't know what you're doing when it comes to plumbing. And if you don't want to cause a major problem, you go to the people who can be preventative, not just corrective. So if you just want something checked out, you're not quite sure what it is, but you sense a problem coming, Aqueduct Plumbing Company will take care of you. And, of course, if there is a giant job that needs to be done, they are more than capable of doing that as well. The giant jobs right now are repipings in older homes. Maybe you need a repiping because if your pipes go bad, what does that mean? You get dirty, smelly, stinky water, and that affects how you wash your clothes, how you wash yourself, how you wash your dishes. It's all bad when the water goes bad, so you want somebody who will fix that for you and do it quickly and do it the right way. And that's why you call Aqueduct Plumbing Company, 281-488-6238 is that number. And if you just go to the website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com, you can check out all the services from the repipes, from leak detection, and they will get you in touch with a great contractor. Maybe you need some gas piping, a new construction, some remodels. It's all there for you. The top down when it comes to great plumbing services. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
Couple more segments here at the DraftKings Sportsbook. I did not watch the Rockets game here in this palatial viewing experience. I did watch it in my hotel room, and no matter where I watched it, you could tell that the Rockets in the fourth quarter is a giant issue. We talked about it this morning, and they're minus 56, and that's over the course of the entire year. So we think about how many games there's been. That's not a giant amount, but we just know that they're not as good in the fourth quarter. They lose fourth quarters, and that has been a big issue over the course of the last 2 weeks, and they've come out on the best end of that more often than not. But now it's flipping, and that's kind of how it goes. The one score games in football, the close clutch games in basketball. Is it a harbinger of things to come? Possibly not, but you're always in a position where a couple of things go against you and you're going to lose a ball game, and it hurts even more when you have a giant lead, which the Rockets have suffered from recently, blowing big leads, and this time they blew a big lead to the Knicks. They had control of that game going into the fourth quarter, and then they allowed the Knicks to stay in it, and it became a game of shot for shot. Both teams were scoring late in the ball game, just trading buckets, and then eventually Jalen Brunson really took over and got the win. Oh, this is sad. I'm looking at all the other Lakers get introduced. If you can watch it, all of a sudden they pulled out one of the Morris twins. I forgot which one was. And then Maxi Kleber's out there too. Maxi Kleber limped. Markeith got traded, and Maxi Kleber, and they brought those guys out at the very end for the jersey picture with Luka. Yeah.
I guess that's better than having them up there. And literally, there might have been one question to Markeith Morris about, you know, he was on the 2020 bubble title team. Was it feel to be back? Whatever. And then every other question is like, so Nico Harrison also called you a fat alcoholic. What do you think about that?
It's like for us, because if you are a sicko and you're watching a kid commit on signing day, that too, Instagram Live, there are multiple ways, Sean, to be a sicko when you're watching some 17 or 18 year old commit to your school. It's the kid you're waiting for, but it's a signing day for everybody.
Oh, everyone at the high school, yeah.
Yeah, whether the kid is on the football team or the track team, it's signing day, and the kid who might be going to a D2 school is going to get his moment too, and they will save the big time recruits for the very end because they don't want it to be just about them. They want the other kids to get their shine. So that's kind of what it would have been like if you did it that way, where it's Markeith Morris, you talk to him, and then you talk to Maxi Kleber have a couple questions, then you let them sit there for an hour because you're going to talk to Luka for an hour. So, you know, you let those guys stand off to the side, and then when it's time for the picture, you bring them up there. We did trade for these other two guys. So Markeith and Maxi, you get your pictures taken with Luka as you all are new Lakers.
I do think it's funny because just here on ESPN, like, it is just in the middle of the McAfee show that they took this. And I do wonder how it goes where someone at ESPN had to tell Pat McAfee, though, like, hey, we're just going to take the first 36 minutes of this Luka thing.
Yeah.
You guys just sit tight as we watch a press conference, which I have my own thoughts about why do press conferences need to be shown live. They're pretty boring if you've ever been in one, like, especially introductory press conferences. Like, I don't know. You can kind of just run it on ESPN2 or something. NBA TV, I get why they run it.
ESPN News? Isn't ESPN News the spot for that?
Yeah, just like, I don't know. I don't know if we need to be interrupting, like, live studio programming for Luka to sit there and be like, you know, I wish Kobe was here to see this. I've, you know, not very many people get to play for such a great organization, yada yada. Like, do that for 30 minutes? It's crazy. That's like the industry standard, is to just take it live, not knowing if it'll be interesting in any way.
It's something we did here in a different way back when this, it wasn't 97.5 at the time, it was 1560, back when we cared less about the rules. We would just take a Texans press conference and run it live. Back when we were trying to put our finger in the eye of 610, we would just run an entire Texans. If a big Texans moment was supposed to happen and a signing happened or a coach was hired, we would just, hey, pull that up and run it. And during the middle of the broadcast day. So it's not a new thing, and
that.
It's not unique. But to your point, I'm not sure why. It's not like we took a poll with the listeners and go, hey, did you want to sit here and listen to the Texans introduce insert player for the next 25 minutes, and as opposed to, you know, what
the
you're tuning
Ed Reed
in for
press conference, yeah,
like daily, the show that you tune into daily. Would you rather listen to Ed Reed talk about the leadership he's going to bring? And of course, that turned into a pretty much a disaster. That speaks to what the importance of press conferences are. But I get why the Lakers local broadcast team did it. What else are they going to run at this time of the day? Why ESPN's doing it when you're paying Pat McAfee what you're paying him? Whatever. They did it. It's as you said, specifically 36 minutes that Pat McAfee doesn't have to talk. And the best part about it is the press conference will run, and then Pat McAfee will spend the next 25 minutes discussing what happened in that press conference.
Right now, there's B-roll, and it just says, Luka Doncic on the Lakers, and McAfee is talking with his hands. I don't know what he's saying because it's on mute, but he's moving his hands a lot as he's talking.
Yes. So as I stop being distracted by Pat McAfee because he's less important than Luka Doncic, according to ESPN, the Rockets themselves, will they make a trade? Probably will be very, very much so less impactful than acquiring a 25-year-old superstar. But as a team, as they're built right now, I don't think any one player that would be available, unless the likes of Kevin Durant shakes free, is going to change their real trajectory. Because if you think this team is a legit contender, I talked about him yesterday, Cam Johnson's not going to elevate them to elevate them to the favorite. And if you think they're not a contender, Cam Johnson, I don't think would do it either. He's a complimentary piece that would fill a void for this team. But their biggest problems will consistently be, until proven otherwise, can they perform in the fourth quarter? And early, I discussed it. Offense is the thing you would think would be the problem, but they're 18th in defense in the fourth quarter. And it's not a tremendous difference from what they do periods 1 through 3. Lance went and did some research after we talked about it. Like, in the first quarter, they rank second in defense, second in the second. It gets worse in the third. They're ninth, and then they drop to 18th in the fourth. Hell, the third quarter defense, they give them more points, but in the fourth quarter, teams lock in. If the game has a chance to be won, teams are going to try to go out and get stops. You know, some of it has to do with the fact that if you're blowing out a team, you will play your backups, and in those fourth quarters, maybe the point total is lower, period, because the backups aren't as good as the starters. But in the Rockets' case, you have seen that the defense has struggled, and they're giving up points in bunches in these games now. And I didn't think that would be the problem. I would think, well, we joked about defense traveling. I didn't think defense would get worse. Their defense would get worse in the fourth quarter unless offenses are spamming the things that work as opposed to running through their sets. But when you need a bucket, you know who to go to and who to go at. And it's interesting, there's a Steven Adams account. It's not a Muse account, but it fits the profile of that. And it's someone, for some reason, who has latched on to Steven Adams as a person they want to highlight. And the on and off numbers when Steven Adams is on the floor, and by the way, he was the one available center, I believe, yesterday because Landale was hurt, and then and Şengün's going to miss time. The on and off numbers when he is on the floor, and even when Şengün's on the floor defensively, are much better than you would think. When you look at what the Rockets are when it comes to what you would think there would be their best defensive units, that switchable unit where you can go 1 through 5 and put everyone out there, and you don't have to put two on the ball because you can just switch and you think that's going to work. They're actually much worse. If you're going by the great account, Steven Adams stats, the Rockets gave up 1.8 points per possession with the fully switchable lineups. That's the Taris, the Amens. You got Roll Jalen out there, Jay Sean Tate, all the guys you think will go out there and get stops. You heard Ime Udoka, we play the sound. He said even our supposed defenders were getting blown by and giving up buckets. So it isn't just, hey, isolate one of your bigs. The Rockets right now are better with their bigs. Per 100 possessions with Steven Adams on the floor, they're a plus 11.8. plus 3.8 with Şengün, and a minus 12.7 since December 1st when neither one of them is on the floor. So the small ball stuff isn't exactly working for the Rockets right now, and you would assume your defensive coach is going to lean into those guys down the stretch expecting to get stops, and right now that has not been the case, and the 46 points by the Knicks were just the latest example of that. Got to figure that out. If you're going to play those lineups as much as it seems Ime wants to play them, they have to be better defensively. And right now, at least since the start of the month of December, they have not been. In fact, they've been one of the worst lineups when it comes to getting defensive stops. So Rockets go down. They lose to the Knicks last night. They got the Nets tonight. Try to get some get back after losing at home here over the weekend. 3-game losing streak. The Knicks one doesn't fall into the Charlotte, Portland, and what was the other one? Brooklyn losses. But it is, maybe it's disappointing because you were never really in that Brooklyn game after like the second quarter. The way these games are going when it comes to blowing leads late, that seems like a trend that needs to get fixed, or we're going to be having these discussions leading into the playoffs and never really feel comfortable with this team, because apparently double-digit leads in the fourth quarter don't mean much to them because their defense falls apart. Okay, we got one more segment to go here before we wrap it up. If you do want to get in, you can, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5. The Bullpen, Saturdays at noon on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
I mean, when you're spotted doing cocaine publicly at a restaurant, the eventual arrest is expected, right? Marcus Jordan got arrested for cocaine possession, DUI, and resisting arrest. It is the triumvirate, the DUI, resisting arrest, and cocaine possession. A pretty special triple to hit for, well, let's be honest. We know him and we refer to him as Michael Jordan's kid. But Marcus Jordan, or he's the one who dated Larsa Pippen, Sean, if we're getting into our celebrity NBA pop culture trashy article stuff. Is he the one with Larsa Pippen?
I think so, because I only know Marcus's name like off the top of my head, so I imagine he's the one that's been in the news for the last
I don't know the other Jordan kid's name. I don't know who that is.
I think it's just Marcus.
Yeah, I looked it up. In fact, I scrolled down in the article and there is a giant picture of him kissing Larsa Pippen.
Oh,
so
there we go.
There's the confirmation. Yeah. In the ever long debate that'll never end about who's greatest, trust us that Jordan fans will have to listen to LeBron fans go, see, Bryce and Bronny, we don't see it from them.
Yeah, well, they're not both cokeheads.
and then if you're a Jordan fan, give it time. When Marcus was of that age, we didn't know about this about him either, so you don't know.
You got to play the long game if you're a Jordan fan.
Yeah, I mean, Bronny and Bryce haven't experienced the same things that Marcus has. At some point, you never know, but right now, if we're talking about winning the debate of the best dad of the top two players to ever do it, LeBron's got a lead on Michael Jordan.
He's pulling ahead.
I mean, your kid doesn't have an arrest on his resume.
Yeah,
You win right now.
He's just in the G League. That's the biggest.
Yeah, that's
crime.
The worst thing that Bronny's ever done.
That we have to watch him play basketball.
It's struggle at USC and play in the G League. Yes. So credit to LeBron, I guess, if we're doing that thing. I don't know. I'm trying to think if. I didn't have an awful childhood. The worst thing that ever happened to me is something that happened to my brother. He got shipped off when he thought he was going to live in the United States. And my dad said, no, you're getting in too much trouble. Go back to Nigeria. And so that didn't even happen to me. But no. I saw it happen when I was a little kid.
Nico Harrison, the father of death.
No, my brother did not have Luca's value. No chance. He's the Maxi Kleber in that situation. But I'm trying to think, if I was given that type of access to all the things that Marcus Jordan would provide, would I be a mess? Would I have embarrassed the family name by getting arrested? I can't rule it out, because what did Chris Rock say? You're a man's only as loyal or something like that, as his options or something. Would I have survived all the things that being Michael Jordan's kid would have provided? And we know Michael likes to party, so I don't think he was instilling the stay home, don't party lifestyle into his kid. I might be in trouble, so I can't get after Marcus Jordan too much. You get too many things thrown at you, you start to want to do other things. Unfortunately,
yeah.
He got
including
caught.
Your dad's teammate's wife.
Exactly. If you have access to that, what are we talking about? Why would he? Why would I think a cocaine possession charge wouldn't be in his future? If you can get off,
you're clearly dating, reckless decisions.
Yeah, dating your father's teammate's ex-wife, and it just being a thing where you're public about it, who am I to suggest that this is out of bounds? He gets everything he wants. Getting arrested for coke is probably small on the list of things that are in his life right now. So there it is. Marcus Jordan arrested, and Michael's probably like, you know what? It is what it is. It's just a coke charge. Yeah, the DUI is probably not great. Probably not looking for that. But the coke and the resisting arrest, it happens. That's what you say. It happens.
How old? He has to be like in his 30s, right?
I think he's in his early 30s now. I don't know. His age didn't come up in the article, but he's probably in his early 30s.
Flag on the play, Google, 34. When you type in Marcus Jordan, you know, underneath it says like their occupation or why they're famous. American basketball player. We can update that. He is 34 years old.
Yes.
From Chicago, Illinois.
He played at – I do remember him playing at UCF. I do remember that. That's as much as I remember about him. And his brother played at Illinois, the one who doesn't get in trouble.
Jeffrey.
The older brother.
Jeffrey Jordan.
The older brother who we don't hear anything about.
That
I think I would rather be Jeffrey. Look, Larsa Pippen, cool, whatever. But if I'm picking the life of one of the Jordan kids, I think I'm going to go with Jeffrey. I don't know anything about Jeffrey. He is married, which I'm not a fan of. But, hey, love who you love. But still, he's married. We don't hear anything about him. I'm sure he gets the same type of opportunities, and the bank account is as full, well, probably more full than Marcus's, because Marcus seems like he's willing to spend money. But if I'm Jeffrey, I think I picked the Jeffrey way of going about being Michael Jordan's kid.
Of course. I want to be the son of a billionaire who it doesn't get in trouble every 6 months.
Hold on. He was arrested in 2021 for assaulting hospital staff. So he's got one of those. He's got an arrest on his resume, too, but not a coke charge. And he's not a TMZ.
You know what?
He's not a TMZ staple either.
You know what? Now,
it's a closer
I'm kind of
thing.
On LeBron Stan's side of this guy. LeBron's a great parent. Look at these rapscallions that Jordan is raising.
As I said, the only defense the Jordan people have right now is LeBron's kids are only of college age and high school age. Just wait. If you're a Jordan stan, you say just wait on it. Just wait. Give him a decade. We'll see.
Bryce James forced to sit outside for the rest of class because he kept making jokes. What?
It's different. That's different. I mean,
he's making
give him a
fart
decade.
Noises with his hands. Now he has to get chewed out in the hallway.
You make jokes now, but 10 years from now, when we find out Bryce James is dating Rui Hachimura's ex-wife, then we're gonna then we'll see what you think about this entire thing. Then we'll see.
God,
we'll
I feel
see.
Bad for Rui already.
I'm just saying. We know LeBron has been chasing Jordan for years. Why wouldn't the kids do the same thing?
Honestly, Hachimura might be closer in age to his kids than he is.
He definitely
to LeBron.
Is. Oh, he definitely is.
So that's more age appropriate.
That's true. Well, Larsa Pippen was much younger than Scottie. That was part of the deal, too. Yeah. Yeah, Scottie was there. Larsa Pippen is closer to Marcus's age than she is to Scottie's age, I think. Although, I think the weird part wasn't the age difference. Oh, I take it back. She's 50. I didn't know she was that old. So, yeah, to your point, we'd have to go with an older teammate.
Mo Williams' wife?
Booby Gibson's wife? I hope they follow the same path, honestly. I don't need the coke arrest, but if you want to date one
fun.
Of LeBron's teammates, I don't know. Yeah, I didn't say not do coke. I just said avoid the arrest. Don't get arrested and
Chris
don't get
Carter,
the DUI.
Have a fall guy.
Yeah, don't get the DUI. Don't get arrested, but if you want to do the coke and be a person who happens to date your legendary father's ex-teammate or teammate's ex-wife, that's fine. That's cool. I'm just trying to think of the most likely example.
Not Gabrielle Union?
We got to find – obviously, it would be Wade if we're talking about best teammate.
Yeah,
plus,
that's the easiest comp, but it's also
plus
Gabrielle
famous
Union.
Wife. Yeah, that's not happening. I mean, I don't think Bronny would date Big Z's wife, ex-wife, so I don't think that's happening. I can't
never in my life have I ever considered if – Big Z is married or not. It never was interesting.
Neither have I until this conversation started. But if
now
we
I'm
want,
forced to picture what Big Z's wife looks like.
But if we want these two people to these two superstars to be connected throughout history, we need their kids to fall on the same path. And
Anderson
Big Z's probably
Varejao's wife.
He did love himself some Anderson Varejao. Nah, I'd be Kevin. You know Brazilian. What? It'd be Kevin Love's wife, ex-wife. I think that's the target. If we're looking for the most shock, because it wouldn't be Gabby. But if we're looking for the most shocking potential ex-teammate's wife, it'd be Kevin Love's wife.
The fit in or fit out jokes are right there.
It's all right there. So Bryce or Bronny, get to it. Start having some fun because maybe Bryce has a long NBA career ahead of him.
Bryce, keep your head down until you get drafted at least.
Yeah.
Until your dad gets you drafted.
Bronny, a couple more years.
You can
start showing out.
Yeah, in like 18 months, you can start having a little bit more fun.
Yeah, yeah. Once your dad retires, it's all on the table for you, Bronny. You don't want to be tooling around the G League after your dad's gone.
Have Lucas show you around the town a couple times.
We know he likes to have some fun if we believe what the Mavericks are going to want to tell us. That music means we are done for the afternoon. We're done at DraftKings Sportsbook in Lake Charles in the Golden Nugget. Appreciate them for having us out here. You can come out here and enjoy all they have to offer, from the big-time sportsbook to the restaurants to the golf. It's all here for you to get away and have a good time. I'm done for the day. Gallant and George are up next, followed by the Killer Bees. So since we're done, Sean, what does that mean?
That peanut butter skin.
I don't know what Kevin Love's wife looks like. I'm not sure that's the appropriate descriptor. But I appreciate it anyway. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5. I assume you knew.